Aloha, everyone. Welcome back to the Google Bait Podcast. I'm Erica Duran, and I have Bill Bourne with me. And today, we're going to be talking about one of our frequently asked questions. It is basically Google Bait pages versus Google AdWords. And Bill, are you on the line?
I am here.
Okay, great. Well, let's start out with the basics. Let's just get right into this. What is a Google Bait page and what are Google AdWords? If you could explain, I'm going to just play Q&A with you. Even though I kind of know the answer, I'm just going to play Q&A with you for the listener's benefit.
A Google Bait page is something we create that is very, very specific and very focused towards one word or one keyword phrase. If you're talking about socks, the only thing you're going to find on that page is a page about socks. And the reason that's important is that Google indexes you based on your words on the page. And if you stray from the words on your page, you might get tossed into a whole different bucket than you think you actually want to end up into. The other thing about a Google Bait page is that we use a description that is very specific to that page that is meant to entice your potential customers into actually clicking on the link and actually visiting your page. That's about all a Google Bait page really does, kind of. Google AdWords are words that you pick from Google and you pay Google a certain price per click. For instance, if your AdWord is socks and you come up someplace on a Google ad that says socks, somebody clicks it, they charge you right away. They take a charge out of your bank account and put that person who clicks that page onto that page about your socks. Google AdWords are a pay-per-click, and Google Bait pages are organic searches with your description coming up on the search.
Right. So the biggest thing, obviously, is Google Bait pages. You pay basically once for the program for the most part, and then Google AdWords empties your bank account every time there's a click, but that it goes a lot. We're going to get a lot more detailed into that. That's like the basic on the surface difference. But what I've been telling people, even if they are still have their heart set on using Google AdWords, they still need to do at least our starter bait package so that they are armed with all the best keyword research and they're not just throwing their money away at Google AdWords, that they're going into Google AdWords with an educated disposition on what they should be doing.
That's true. Both Google AdWords and Google Bait pages require you to do the keyword / keyword phrase research to be anywhere close to effective. The reason being, first of all, does anybody actually ever search for your keyword? Your perfect example was, I forget what your keyword
my
was.
My freedom-based lifestyle example that I always use.
The thing is, nobody ever types that into Google. Right. So if you were actually trying to pay for AdWords on freedom-based lifestyle, chances are you're never going to come up on a search.
Yeah, I just had a hustle for 5 years to get that to even be a phrase.
Yeah, you're teaching people that that's a phrase, but nobody still is searching for that on Google.
Right.
So the first thing you have to do is you have to figure out what people are actually searching for that applies to your business. And then the second problem is, or the second question is the cost. I can't remember exactly what SEO, a keyword SEO cost, but I think it was about $17 per click-through. So that's a general keyword. A lot of people are trying to use it. There's millions of people trying to basically get you to click on their site with SEO. And at $17 a click, it's going to be incredibly expensive. And chances are you're never going to get any customers from that keyword because it's too many competitors, too expensive, and your bank account's got to be empty before anybody actually buys anything. So the keyword research is incredibly expensive in either case. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what StarterBait is. One of the first parts of StarterBait is to actually do the keyword research. We find your competitors, we find your site, we search everything we possibly can, and we give you a set of keywords, and then we give you a cost variance on the keywords to try to explain to you that, okay, this is a good keyword, this is not a good keyword. This is too expensive, you're going to be paying too much per click-through to get people to actually come to your site. For it to be effective, you have to have something that people really, really want, and you have to be like so, so good at it for that keyword to be effective. Otherwise, again, you'll just be paying a ton of money out for something that nobody's paying anything for.
Yeah, or so, just to reiterate, there's too much, way too much competition on certain keywords that do seem obvious. I mean, if you're an SEO company, SEO should be your keyword, but there's just too much competition and it's too expensive at that keyword, and you can backdoor it with a better keyword and get better results and better conversions.
Yeah, the research is all important in either case. Without the keyword research, doing Google Ads is just throwing money down the toilet.
Right.
And you have to understand what you're actually seeing in order to make a real good decision on what AdWords to use. Because again, if you're using AdWords that are too expensive, even if you've got like 4 million people a month looking for that specific AdWord, but you've got 80 million customer or 80 million sites using that keyword, chances are you're not going to get customers out of it. You're just going to be emptying your bank account.
Right. And then another thing with Google AdWords that you mentioned earlier was it could end up, your AdWord could end up anywhere. It could end up on someone else's homepage. It could end up on your competition. It could end up on something you're not proud to be connected with.
That's true. Google doesn't tell, Google probably does tell you. Google puts ads anywhere Google can find to put an ad. If you've been to homepages, you've been to sites before, you'll see Google ads pop up all the time. That's people paying for Google AdWords. Those ads, Google puts those wherever they decide they're going to put your ad, that's where you end up. And I've seen sites where they're trying to sell you something specific and a competitor pops up, which is just rude. And in doing so, somebody could actually exit that site and go to somebody else's site for the AdWords. So Google puts their ads wherever Google can find to put the ads, and they charge you for as many times as they possibly can for that ad. So you don't have any control over where your ad is actually coming up. It doesn't always come up on just a Google search engine.
And because of the keywords are probably in common, it's very likely that your ad will show up on a competitor's site.
Competitor is using Google ads on their site, allows Google to place ads on their site. Yes, it's fairly, very possible that ads from competitors will show up on that site.
And then Google ads only cover one keyword per charge or click, right?
Well, it's kind of weird. I use Google AdWords in a company I used to own, and the first thing I can tell you is Google is really, really good at emptying your bank account. I'm not kidding. At one point, we had lots of money. At one point in time, we had a lot of money to spend on Google AdWords. And at one point, we were spending about $4,000 per day on Google AdWords. And that was like we put $4,000 in the account, and Google would say, okay, done. It was like at noon.
Oh, because they saw what your budget was, and they just sucked the money out.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't know how they did it, but it was just incredible.
I have a feeling Facebook does that too. When I was testing Facebook ads, I never really depended on them or ever used them because I kind of saw the same thing. I mean, however big you put your budget in there is what they sucked up. They're like, tell us how much money you have and we'll take it.
Honestly, we had leads. We actually had leads coming in, and our salespeople actually had phone numbers and people to call and contact and everything else. So the Google AdWords were kind of working for us, but they were so expensive. By the time we finished with the customer, we got to the end of the call, we charged the customer, and then we actually had a new client out of the thing. It was almost a break even using Google AdWords. It was like we were giving more money to Google than we were giving to our salespeople. It really wasn't that good for us. It wasn't really cost effective as a way to generate new leads. And now it's even more expensive. Google AdWords have really shot up in price since, it was almost 10 years ago.
Right.
So it's gotten so expensive. I don't know how people can afford it.
And there's just more people online now marketing online. So just competition's getting up there and up there and up there with the more people coming online.
Yeah.
They think the easy way out is just to throw money at Google AdWords. And basically, yeah, you're just throwing money at Google AdWords. There's no strategy or keyword research behind that. And Google's probably going to lead you to spending on the more expensive words that probably won't help you.
Well, without the keyword research, you're going to empty your bank account. You're going to be sitting there going, okay, where are all my leads?
Right.
Because you will, obviously, if you pick the obvious choice, like SEO, at $17 a click, I don't care how many customers you get out of that, it's going to take X number of people clicking on that page for you to basically close one person, and that one person may never cover the cost of your Google Ads.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing interesting too is that with Google Ads, you have a campaign, and in that campaign, you put your ad word or your ad words, which are keyword phrases and such. But in honesty, you're going to be focusing on one or two keyword phrases, and then hopefully they'll click through and they'll end up on your homepage or something else, like a landing page or something. But you can't afford, with Google AdWords, you can't afford to cover 10, 20, or 30 AdWords at one time, because that will you will really.
Right. Most companies only have the budget to work with one or two good keywords in AdWords style.
Yeah, per campaign, because your bank account will seriously empty. It'll just empty right out. It's amazing how fast that works.
So then I see on our notes here, you have a kind of rapid fire Google bait, pro Google bait, obviously, reasons why Google bait is better and different from AdWords. So you want to go down your list?
Yeah, Google bait is different. That's for sure. With Google bait, you only pay once. We set up the pages. We create the pages based on keyword research. And then we try to basically bump the pages up in the organic search. So the good news is you only have to pay once. Once the Google Bait page is done, it's sitting out there forever. It doesn't go anywhere. It just sits there.
And I just want to back up one second that we have been on our first batch of customers. We've been getting the keyword research back, and I have to, you know, I've been in this industry about 15 years and I've never seen such elaborate keyword research. I mean, usually if you go to a normal SEO company or somebody on Fiverr or somebody on Odesk and you ask for keyword research, it's pretty lame what you get back. And this, it's been just crazy, incredible, detailed keyword research. I think you lock yourself in a room for about 3 days on each client and think about nothing else but all the possibilities.
It really does work that way. I'm a bit of a perfectionist when it comes to this stuff. I really just keep beating the dead horse until it's a big pile of poop. It is seriously, I can't just pick one keyword.
It's like forensic keyword research.
But it's important because there's a lot of things in your case.
It's the whole basis of everything. So it has to be done right. And it can't be just something you get from Fiverr.com.
No, in your case, it's important to know that work from home and work at home are two completely different keyword searches. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't think it would be, because the SEO guys will tell you they throw the from and the at out, and they only use two words in that research, and that's work home and so forth. But the truth is, work from home is 10 times more popular than work at home.
And that's we know the actual humans are typing in that, because we could see it in the research actually typing in.
But you have to do all the research. Mm-hmm. And then you rerun the research using a whole bunch of different keyword phrases, and you just keep plugging and plugging and plugging along, and you go to the competitions page and you say, okay, what is this person using for their keywords? And then you replug it back into Google and see what comes up, and you actually come up with real honest-to-God information about how many people are typing this in, how many searches Google is getting per month, how many pages are coming up for competition. And once you actually have the research done, now you say, okay, these are the keywords we stay away from, SEO. There's too much competition, it's too expensive, and even in an organic search, we'll never get to the top of Google using that specific keyword. No surprise. An SEO company who can't get to the first page of Google, you would think they're not very good, but that's really not the truth. They're just looking at the reality of it and going, okay, let's try a different keyword, because you're never going to get there. Mm-hmm. So we pick the keywords where you actually have a chance to get someplace with them. Same thing works with Google AdWords. You're not going to want to pick a word that costs $17 a click. If you get 1,000 clicks a day on that keyword, you're paying $170,000 or something on just one keyword. Mm-hmm. It's just nobody wants to spend that. And if you do, you're not going to close that many customers to pay for it. So you've got to look at the cost benefit of each and every single keyword phrase. And yes, I do really, honest to God, do all the research. I don't just come back and say, okay, here's 50 keywords, go blog about it. It's, it's usually over 500 keywords, and they're all analyzed and all figured out. And then I say, okay, we're going to pick this group of keywords in here. And then I go off and I look at all your competition sites. And on these competition sites, I type in the keyword, and I actually go through Google and read who's coming up on the list. And then I say, okay, this is a good keyword, or okay, this keyword sucks. A lot of different reasons for it. One, it could be the name of a book. It could be the name of a movie. It could be the name of a song. It could be that you are competing against Newsweek, Ladies Home Journal, Cosmopolitan, and all these magazines. If you've got 3 pages of magazine articles about a specific keyword, and each magazine article goes to a really large publisher, it's not a good keyword. Because if you're trying to sell a product or trying to sell something, and all you're competing against now is Cosmopolitan and Redbook, it's just never going to get a click-through to your page. Because they're already there. You've got 30 or 40 or 50 other magazines with the same keyword behind them. It's not a good keyword. You're trying to actually get people to find you on Google. And if you pay for the click, chances are it's still coming up with the same type of people on the click-throughs. So it's just, I really do research the heck out of the keywords. So when you got a list, when you have a list for me, it's a list that actually makes sense and can make money.
Right. So Google bait, we've covered you pay only once, and the pages continue on forever. These pages are going to keep working for you, not like an ad that's going to die once somebody clicks on it.
Well, not only that, but the ad dies the moment you run out of money.
Right. Whichever comes first, if they click on it.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, that I always find funny is that your competitors will click on your ad every day they go in there.
I see that a lot where competitors, they're snooping and they'll click on your ad. Well, that's costing them money when you click on those things.
Yeah, it's costing you money. If your competitor clicks on the ad and posts around your site for even a couple of clicks, Google charges you. And now you just paid for your competitor to empty money out of your bank account.
Right. And then with Google bait, you can cover as many keywords as you want. There's no limit. Like when you were saying earlier that Google AdWords, most people can only afford 1 to 2 keywords. Google bait, you can have unlimited number of keywords.
Well, within practicality, you're only going to have so many keyword phrases that will make sense for your business. But you can build multiple pages to cover certain ad or certain keywords. You can use keywords that people don't usually search for, even on a low search. If there's 500 or 1,000 people per month clicking on a specific keyword, but there's no competition for it, that's still 500 to 1,000 new customers, new potential customers per month.
Yeah, that's what we were telling our interior designer. Yeah, there's only 500 to 1,000 people looking for this keyword, but can you even handle 1,000 new clients? No.
No. We can go through and put pages out there of keywords where very few people, not very few people in general, but very few people compared to the top keywords search for, but that's still more than enough customers for you to basically be able to handle. And it more than covers the cost of a Google bait page.
And then Google bait uses the description to entice visitors to your site.
I just thought of something that's interesting. Look at the cost effectiveness of a Google bait page versus a AdWords campaign. AdWords campaigns get really, really expensive, really, really fast. Most people cannot continue AdWords for any indefinite amount of time because they just run out of money. It is very expensive. Every single customer becomes very expensive. With Google bait, there's an upfront charge, of course. There's a lot of research and there's some work to be done up front. But once the page is done, the cost of that page is nothing. So now the cost per click-through is nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to, from a financial standpoint, it's a lot easier to justify paying for Google bait one time and having customers come to your site forever as opposed to Google ads, which you pay as you go. And if you don't really think it's expensive, just try it because you will be surprised how fast your bank account is. Bye-bye.
Well, we've all been burned by Google ads or Facebook ads somewhere in our, well,
especially,
our lives.
Especially if you don't do the research. If you don't do the keyword research and pick the right keywords and actually find a good client based on those keywords, you're just, only thing you're going to accomplish is emptying your bank account. I can't stress that enough. Mm-hmm. So now would you ask me?
Oh, the description, Google bait uses the description to entice visitors to your site. So there's an extra layer of information there to entice visitors.
A lot of people use the Google AdWords to point an ad to their homepage. It's okay. I mean, for the most part, it's okay.
That's I always say that's kind of ridiculous because it's like you're sending people to a museum. They're going to get totally lost going to your homepage. You need to lead the client to through a funnel and to take the next step, not to click around and end up on Facebook.
Well, it goes to one little concept, and that is that you have to think of a Google search as somebody asking a question. Mm-hmm. So, what are socks? So somebody types in socks, the answer comes back as a set of sites explaining what socks are. And that's why Wiki comes up so often.
Wikipedia.
Thank you, Wikipedia. Google says, okay, what are socks? Here's Wikipedia, next thing down. We sell socks. Okay, great. Somebody clicks on that site. Well, amazing, but if you pick something a little bit less obvious, I'm not even going to try, but if you pick something a little less obvious, you want people to come to the page and you want to answer their question. You want to treat it like a question. So they're answering their question and you want to push them through the site saying, do you want to learn more? Do you want to buy this? Do you want to try that? Do you want to get on our mailing list? Anything else? But a regular homepage doesn't really do that. Mm-hmm. And this homepage where I go to a site, a homepage from a Google search, and the first thing it does is it pops up a little pop-up that says, join our mailing list for more information. This is before I even read their site. This is before I even get my question answered. They're trying to get my email address. And it's annoying after a while because every site feels like it's the same way anymore. They don't answer the question. If I want more information, I will click something on your page. Don't be popping up and asking me for another email address. I've got enough junk mail coming into my inbox. So Google pages can do that, but they don't because I don't really like that. I want people to click the site if they're interested in whatever it is they're looking for. If they're not interested, well, go somewhere else. Sorry, but you didn't pay for anything to get to here, so I'm not going to penalize you for leaving. And that's why the description is really important on these Google pages. It says exactly what this page is about, exactly how it covers the topic. And if somebody isn't interested, okay, move on. Fine, no problem. But if they are interested, it's because they read the description and they're on the Google page now for a reason. And that reason is we answer the question, whatever that might be, and we're trying to entice the person to click through and potentially become a customer at some point. So it's not just a random homepage that comes up with a click-through asking me for another email address where you're going to send more spam. It's not the same concept. Sorry.
No, it's okay. Those pop-ups, everyone is still in the belief that they work, and that's kind of from like 10 years ago. The actual conversions from those, from everything I've done in the last 15 years, the pop-ups that come up right away that don't give people a chance to get to know you don't convert hardly at all. It's more of an annoyance and people will click away and it'll hurt your bounce rate. So
I've had some come up where I can't figure out how to get out of that stupid thing. And I just hit the back and say, forget it. I'll find a different page.
Yeah. And then you just open up a completely fresh Google search and start over.
But Google Bay pages don't use those. Right. If you're there, it's because you're interested in whatever it was that we put in the description. So when people come to your Google Bay page, they're more than likely going to read whatever is on your page. And then we get a call to action button or something that converts them to a page where you can get their email address or anything else you're looking for.
And I know a lot of clients I work with, they don't even have the description filled out in their homepage. They just leave it blank.
Again, if they try to buy Google Ads and they don't have the description filled out on their homepage and or whatever page they're trying to use for the Google Ads, mm-hmm. you're going to end up with an ad. Google is in charge of putting the ad up there. Only when you have a click-through, but it doesn't matter because if you don't have a description that actually makes sense for your ad word, nobody's going to click it anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's a waste of money either way.
And then using Google Ads and Google Bait together, you might see both your ad and your Google Bait page come up for the same search.
I see that all the time. I see people that have really right on perfect pages sitting out there, and I type in a word, it comes up. And Google, the first thing Google does is they come up with an ad for that page. Here's an ad. Here's the page. Right below it is your actual page without an ad. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't work for me because if I click the ad.
But wait, that's not necessarily a Google Bait page. That's like somebody's blog post or something, right?
Well, it's usually somebody who's written a page specifically for that keyword.
Oh, okay.
And it's really well
written. But it's not an official Google Bait page. It's just them.
It's possible to write a page to come up on. On Google.
Right.
But if it comes up number one on Google, but the first entry is Google ad, it's funny that Google doesn't take the ad out
when your
site is the first one to come up.
I see. So you've made it, you've won the big organic search battle. You've got to the top of Google and then Google still sticks your ad there that you can give them more money.
Now you're getting paid, even though you're the top of Google, you're still getting charged. Yes. For somebody to find your page. It's annoying. The other thing about Google Bait is if you're using Google Weight Pages, and then you're paying for AdWords, and you're coming up, or you're coming up as an ad with a Google Weight Page, it's very, very specific to a topic. So it's much more likely that somebody's going to click on your ad with a Google Weight Page than if you just use your homepage, which is always going to be an issue.
Because that specific topic is going to answer their question, and then it just psychologically builds more trust.
Well, look at your page. Look at your homepage. Most people's homepages are all over the place. You know, hi, we do this and we do that. And in the meantime, we're doing this 17 other things. And you've got all your people out there talking about how great you are. And then you've got all this other information scattered about your homepage. Somebody's going to go to that page and they're going to go, okay, I'm looking for a sock. Where's the sock? Mm-hmm. Okay, nope, sorry, no socks on this page. And they're going to go back. It's weird that people don't understand that. Google, when you put an ad out there, you have to answer the question with your page. And a homepage is never really the best way to do that. Mm-hmm. The Google Weight Page at least answers the question, entices somebody, and tries to move them to the next level, whatever that might be. Whether you're looking for just information, whether you're looking for them to read something else, whether you're trying to convert a client to a customer, whether you're trying to get a customer's email address for more information, whether you're trying to give them something free for them to come back and say, okay, this guy's really who I'm looking for to do this particular job. It really needs to be very concise and very directed at whatever that ad is. So using Google ads with a Google Weight Page actually makes sense. And then, yes, sometimes you're actually going to end up on there twice. You're going to end up having Google being charging you for an ad, and then there's your Google Weight Page. But
your page already made
yeah. But yeah. And then Google says, yippee, we got paid for something. But it still works. It's still a better way than doing your homepage.
Right. So anything else you want to add? Google Bait versus Google Ads?
Well, Google Bait is really good. Google Ad is really expensive. The two can absolutely work together. If you really want to double your chances of somebody actually finding your page and ending up on your site. But the big drawback to Google is always going to be the charge. And the charge they quote on, even if you do the research and do all the AdWord research and such, and then you look at the charges, the low, you'll never hit the low, and the high is not a guarantee. A lot of times they'll charge you much more money than they admit they will, because they're always trying to charge as much as they can. Yeah. It just is what it is. Google will do their best. I'm not trying to be mean to Google. I like Google. But they really do the best they can to empty your bank account as fast as they can.
But there's no end in sight. If you want to stay in business and you're only using Google AdWords, you're going to just have to keep paying.
Yeah.
And then something else we talked about before we started recording was the fact that if you have 10, 20, 30 perfect 100% Google Bait SEO perfect pages out there, those are all incredibly high trust backlinks to your human site that you may have on WordPress. So it's bumping up your WordPress site too. It's like a rising tide floats all boats in that situation.
That's sort of the key. One of the key things to Google Bait is when you have a WordPress site, or you have a Wix site, or you have who's the other site we were just talking about?
Squarespace,
yeah. They're fine. They're just templates, but they're all templates.
And or ClickFunnels or Lead Pages or any kind of platform like that. That's you know, websites for dummies kind of thing.
Yeah. They're just pages. They're sitting out there. They don't have a lot of SEO value per se. But Google Bait pages are set up specifically for SEO value. And the more perfect pages you have out there, the better your page ranking is going to become with Google. The better your trust factor is going to become. The more pages you have answering questions and not all over the place, just answering specific questions about specific topics and trying to get people to come to your site, Google gives you points for a trust factor. So as your page rank comes up, your trust factor comes up, your page rank pushes your overall ranks up on Google. That also pushes your homepage up. That pushes all of your blog pages up. That pushes all of your other pages up with it. So you could actually go from a 2 to a 4 or a 4 to a 6 over time. And Google AdWords won't help you with that at all. Mm-hmm. That you'll stay a 1 or 2, maybe a 3 for the rest of your life. So the higher the pages, the higher the trust factor, the more times you're going to come up on a Google search. With AdWords, it's pay-per-click. That's all it is.
Right. And then a side note, just a personal thing for me. I think I've told this story before on the podcast, but back in January of 2018, I did a big, you know, internet marketing rule. No. I took down 7 years of content, videos, blogs, podcasts, just 7 years of content. And it's funny because my Google bait pages were working and I've received more clients, book deals, media appearances, like all these things without all that content that people keep telling everyone to do. It's just ridiculous how much more visibility and how much more people are finding me now that I've took down 7 years of content, which kind of pisses me off, but it's the truth. Well,
there's a flip side of that coin. Google never forgets anything. Uh-huh. And I know it's a funny thing to realize that
Google's an elephant.
It never forgets anything. If I went out there and I searched your links and I searched your articles and I did all this research from Google, it'll come back and it'll tell me all these things exist, even though they no longer exist. Mm-hmm. So you never really wasted your time putting all that stuff out there, because Google never forgets, but people just don't have access to the content.
Google's like an elephant or a woman scorned.
Well, here's the best example. And this is something that somebody told me that I had never realized. This is years ago, but somebody told me this and I never had a chance to test it until much later on. If you go to a site that charges you, say, $20 to add your link to their site, mm-hmm. you go in there and you pay the $20, you add your site to their, you add your link to their site, you put your article out there, whatever it is you're actually doing, and then the next month you say, no, I don't need this anymore, and click it off. Google still counts that backlink forever.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about that in another episode, that it's even if you want it off, it's hard to get it off if it's a bad link.
But if you're actually doing, if you're trying to build backlinks to your site, you actually go to a site that has a 7 or an 8 or a 9 and they want you to pay for the privilege of having your content posted to their site, pay for a month. Mm-hmm. Let Google find it, pay for a month, and then that backlink stays forever. You can cancel after 1 month.
Right.
So it's a perfect example of how Google never forgets. Once that backlink is ticked on and you get that page rank helping your page come up, it never goes away. The same thing happens with your content. If you write 3 years of content, Google knows that content was written, and Google gives you a little tick mark every time it finds new content. That is one trick, is that Google likes new content. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly writing new content, constantly updating your Google pages, constantly writing your blogs, Google likes pages that aren't stale and old. They like new content. So every time you write new content, Google says, okay, give you another checkpoint. And then all those little checkpoints will actually increase your page rank over time.
Right. And that's why our master's program has a new page going out every 3 days to keep it fresh. So
every 3 days.
Got that covered too.
For as long as you want it going out. And as your comp, it depends on your industry, but if your competition is noticing that you're creeping up, it becomes ever more important that you keep fresh content. Because the moment your content starts to get stale, then Google starts to, if they're producing fresh content and you're not, your competition will start to creep up over the top of you. So mm-hmm. fresh content always.
Right.
Well, there'll be a point in time where you're so far over your competition that there's no way they can catch up to you, but that's going to take a lot of content to do that.
Right.
And so fresh content's important, but old content's important too.
Well, thank you so much. I think we got a big insight here of the differences between Google bait pages and Google ads. Is there anything else you wanted to share, or is that do it?
Not inside this topic. I don't think so.
Okay. All right. We'll have to be back soon with another podcast on Google bait. Mahalo for listening. And I will talk to you soon. Aloha.
Thank you.